Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Okay, a couple of things before we go to Cam Ellis and talk to him about Ryan Poles and everything else. The wording is important. If Sean Payton retired, that's different from him quitting or being fired. If he's fired, he could go work anywhere. If he retired or quit, that's not the case. So if you're one of those people that's like, you know what? Ryan Poles and Sean Payton. That sounds like a match made in heaven. If you're the Saints, you would like compensation for that. So that's why, like, I think that you should probably put the Sean Payton thing away, because I think it's more likely than him coaching somewhere else that he will become a broadcaster or step away or just take the royalties from the movie where Paul Blart plays him. That's all. I see people, whether it's on Twitch or on the text line, like, oh, it's perfect. Organizations just don't let people go. Like, you can't just do that. This isn't like us working, not even me. I don't think I could even do that. Where you're like, oh, I retire, and I'm going to go work for a competitor now. That's not how that works. As Andrew Brandt would say, there would be lawyers if that was the case. So I think put that one in your closet. The, oh, Sean Payton's available. I don't think Sean Payton is available. I think that he retired. And I am using air quotes. He retired. Secondly, it always amazes me, but at this point it shouldn't, that whenever the mere concept of race comes up, so many of you go running for your Confederate flags and then show up on Twitch or on the text line. I am encouraged that there were a couple of people who texted in and said, yeah, I did that exact same thing. I took a job because I knew that there weren't that many opportunities for minorities, but I figured I'd get in there and then I'd straighten everything out once I showed how well I could do at the job. All I'm saying is that make sure that it's a part of the evaluation. If we're talking about whether or not he has power to hire the coach, if the choice was, you can be the general manager, we have recommendations for your head coach, and he found himself going, well, this wouldn't be my first choice, but it's not like these are bad recommendations, I'll overperform. We'll win games. I'm going to take this opportunity because when does this opportunity come up? If you don't understand how a minority candidate would look at it that way, then I question the conversations that you have with women and minority friends of yours. Because it happens more often than you think. Where you look around and you're one of the only others in the room. And to get to that next place, there might have to be some sacrifices that you're willing to make. You know what's great? Being in a place where you don't have to make those sacrifices. But considering that Ryan Poles has worked for one organization and is 36 years old, he probably doesn't have that type of cachet. You can say, from a very privileged point of view, that he shouldn't take the job. Right. He should turn down one of the more powerful jobs in sports and probably more money than he's ever seen in his life. I would say check your privilege and check your head. Because what you want? Cam Ellis covers the Bears, the NFL for us here at The Score. You check out his work on 670thescore.com. He joins us on Tuesdays. We like him. He joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Lawrence. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. Do you know anything about Ryan Poles?
I know that I trust that someone that helped build the Chiefs to be the team they are is probably a step in the right direction. Otherwise, no, not really, to be honest with you. I know that at 36, I'm having my own little age identity crisis about how I am nowhere close to being an NFL GM by only being 6 years younger, if that makes it any better.
Okay, but I would counter with, didn't Matt Nagy have that same resume at a point of like, I helped the Chiefs be the Chiefs?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a very good point. I have no good argument against that. I like that the Chiefs are good, and otherwise, you're right. I think it's very fair to be skeptical at this point. But, you know, there are going to be so many weeks and months for skepticism that I don't blame Bears fans for being optimistic today.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with it because, look, I don't have anything to say bad about this guy because I don't know. I don't know anything about him other than he has – as I think the Hub made a really good point saying that it's very much a similar resume to Ryan Pace. That doesn't mean that he is a similar thinker to Ryan Pace. It just means that they hired someone who's up and coming for the job, and maybe he has better ideas than his predecessor.
Yeah, and you know, I don't necessarily blame the Bears for going after someone who specializes in talent evaluation. You know, I think that's a very valuable skill to have. I understand the similarities, and I understand sort of being gun shy about going towards someone who has a very similar trajectory as Pace. But no, yeah, I think it's hard. Everyone sort of jumps to make assumptions on these types of hires on day one, and I think it probably would do a lot of us a collective favor to just sort of find a way to sort of go, okay, let's see how this plays out, because I don't personally see a lot of advantage to saying, oh, this is going to work, or oh, this isn't going to work, just because, you know, obviously we don't know right now. I like that, you know, I like the idea of someone being able to identify talent, obviously, and it seems like he's very good at it. But you're right. I don't blame anyone for being a little gun-shy about this.
Is it weird that there are second rounds of coaching interviews that were going on before it became official that Ryan Poles was the GM? Granted, like, they could have had their agreement ready to go, and he could have been in there this morning talking with right. Jim Caldwell and Dan Quinn about whatever it is that they were talking about. But I find it a little bit strange. It's not something that I'm going to flip out about, but I do find it a little bit strange that they brought people back for second interviews without having that person in place. And they were literally still interviewing GM candidates until yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. It reeks of the Bears being the Bears in the sense of, like, oh, we're just a fan, but also, like, we're going to privately run this search. And, oh, you know, we're not football evaluators, but we're going to evaluate every part of the football process. Like, it sort of seems like maybe the Bears didn't do this the right way and just got lucky regardless, you know? Like, it seems like they took out some, maybe some sort of random swings and still landed with a really good candidate, which is fortunate. And I think speaks to the opening that the Bears have, in the sense that I think it's a good job. And I think that they were going to be an attractive destination for the smartest candidates just because of the opportunities the job presents itself. But yeah, no, I agree. It is weird that they are very far along in some aspects that should be coming after other aspects that they weren't so far along in. And it doesn't really, you can't really tell who's meddling where. There's some shenanigans going on that I think is pretty typical Bears that is going to get swept under the rug because they have seemingly made a smart hire.
Okay, so if we do get introduced to Ryan Poles over the next few days, and maybe he hires a coach and that's part of his introduction, what are the things that you would like to hear from him that would set him apart from the previous regime?
You know, I want to hear him talk about the way that offenses are run today. And I say this because I was reading over the McCaskey interview from the end of the year yesterday, and while obviously not apples and, stick apples and oranges, they were talking about how, Justin Fields is good, but we want to develop the talent around him, especially on defense. And like, I just don't want to hear that. And maybe that's just me personally, but I want to hear his plan for a modern offense. I want to hear him, talk a little bit about how to approach not just building a team, but running a team. I just want to feel like this is a GM that is up to date with how teams are built and how teams are run today. And the Bears were not that. And, Ryan Pace was a good talent evaluator who I think was sort of stuck in an era that wasn't 50 years old, but, was a decade old, decade and a half old. I want to see an approach that matches the way that modern NFL teams are being molded these days, because that's what the quarterback the Bears have in place is set for that. That is how the Bears are going to take step forwards here, not by, finding the good old days, because we obviously know how that goes.
Would it matter to you if at the end of this, the Bears end up matching Ryan Poles with a veteran head coach? If it's Jim Caldwell or it's Todd Bowles or it's Dan Quinn, guys that they've actually done the job before, or do you want someone fresh at the head coaching spot to go along with someone with fresh eyes at the GM spot?
I personally would like to see a fresh attempt. I just think fresh ideas are always a good place to start at this level. I will say that the coaches that they've been rumored to be connected to that would all be retreads don't really bother me. The Dan Quinn and the 28-3 stuff is what it is. But Dan Quinn it seems like pretty well respected and seems like he knows what he's doing. The Jim Caldwell, Jim Caldwell got jobbed by the Lions and he probably realistically deserves a second chance. So some of these guys, it's not like there's not one specific candidate where I go, oh my God, like in what world? Like this is the ultimate boys club hire. So I would like to see personally a fresh approach just because I think, like I said, that is the innovative forward thinking way to move an NFL team. But I think for the quote unquote retreads of coaching candidates that they're connected to, the Bears could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the candidate pool is really, really interesting and we shall see what they come up with. As always, Cam, I appreciate your time. We'll talk next week, and maybe by then there'll be a new head coach in the building too.
Yeah, you'd hope so after a week, but I appreciate it, Lawrence. I'll talk to you later.
I mean, I guess technically head coaches are already in the building, but I mean, that person would be the Bears head coach is what I mean. Listening to or looking at your text and your Twitch chat as it's coming in, there are still some of you that are either playing stupid or just stupid, trying to understand what I was saying about minority candidates and prove it jobs. I don't know what the reason is that Ryan Poles took this job. I don't know that the Bears haven't given him full power over who he can hire as coach. What I'm saying is that the power dynamic is weighed against minority candidates. And sometimes those candidates have to make concessions to get to the place that they want, in thinking that once they get into that spot, they will prove that they should be given all of the power and all of the money and they have all of the good ideas. There have been all sorts of studies about this, like academically, but even from an anecdotal standpoint, there are plenty of people in the text that have gone through this where you go, I'll make it work. My hope is that the Bears said to Ryan Poles, you're the man. We hired you because you have good ideas, and we are going to let you run this football operation the way that you see fit to run this football operation. That would be great, and it would be a step in the right direction. And I would applaud the Bears for not just saying it, but actually doing it. I want to imagine that George's interactions with Sam Acho and his interactions with the people at Hallis Hall and looking at the model of the Steelers and the Rooneys and how they've gone about hiring have had an impact on him. That would be great if it opened up his mind. And the first thing I thought of when the Bears gave us the list, the massive list of people, was that's exactly what the Steelers have done. In talking to people inside the Steelers organization, when they hired Mike Tomlin, it was 37 different candidates. And if those interactions have changed George even a little, that would be great, because it means that it allows you to look at the candidate pool in a better way, in a more broad way, that you get to go, well, I can pull candidates from a lot of different spots, and maybe I don't need to look for someone from Central Casting. Like, the Ryan Pace hire feels like Central Casting. And maybe we'll look back on this in 5 years and say that Ryan Poles was too. But at least it allowed them to open their minds to the idea of there are a lot of good, smart people who can do the job. Let's talk to as many of them as possible. Let's see who we click with. And then let's hire that person. And that's, if you're someone who claims to believe in bootstraps and everything else that you claim to believe in, that's what you should want. The problem is there are people who say that without understanding that they have their own advantages that have allowed them to bootstrap their way up while stepping on the backs and necks of other people. So here's hoping that George took what's happened over the last couple of years with the NFL and NFL players, his own interactions with Sam Acho, his interactions with everyone inside the Bears organization. Clearly, they changed up some of the things that they did as far as having even a DEI person involved in the hiring. Those are all really good steps in the right direction. It would be awesome if that netted them a very smart GM who's got great ideas. Part of the reason that I sit in the chair is because I'm here to help you look at some things that maybe you don't look at. The problem is that there are still some of you that want to think that the playing field is even. It's not. There are places where it's getting better, and I think that this is a significant step in the right direction for the Bears. But it's still not even. And the idea is to help you to see it from someone else's point of view. And I'm sure that my point of view isn't, even as a minority, like I wouldn't know how to talk about this from the standpoint of being a woman candidate. And there were a couple that ended up in this conversation. And what's that like? Or if we're talking about someone who is openly gay or someone who was trans that found themselves in a position to be hired in one of these jobs, what that feels like. But I also know who my audience is. And some of you don't think in these terms. So I'm trying to give you a little bit of insight. So instead of just reflexively being like, oh my God, he said race. Perhaps take a minute and just reflect and go, yeah, I could see that. Maybe I don't agree with it, but I see where he's coming from on this. I find it problematic in conversations that I have with people on a daily basis that these are not things that people are comfortable with talking about. And so instead of actually listening, it is attack. The reaction is almost immediately attack. When all I've done is, here's something to think about. If you are someone who is concerned that the Bears might not give this man control, which is a good thing, that you're looking at it and saying the person who's a GM should be in charge of every aspect of hiring football people. Yes, you are correct. What I'm telling you is that, especially with jobs like this, because they are so few and far in between, that he might take this job with limitations because he understands the position that it puts him in, and it gives him an opportunity to prove that he's not just representing himself. Unfortunately, that he does have to carry some weight. And I can tell you that from talking to Kenny Williams. When Kenny is in the room looking around and he sees at the owners' meeting that people don't look like him and they aren't taking into account other points of view, he can get up and say something. That's a lot of pressure. And as I said earlier, my hope is there has been some realizations. And to me, it seems like the Bears have figured that part out. Maybe we don't have this completely right. It was part of the reason that it bothered me that they didn't say Lamar Campbell's name. Now, that's my thing, but it bothered me. They had assumed that we knew who he was. But you should put people like him up front more and not as a prop. And I don't think that the Bears did that. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that George kind of took a familiar, and I'm sure that he meant it in a good way. Like, hey, I'm friends with this guy. Like, we all know him as Soup. But why don't you put him really out there and let people know who he is and why you want him in the room? Just don't be so quick in a world. Don't be so quick to not take the time to think through. Is my point of view the only point of view on this? Or is it possible that maybe my point of view is limited? Or God forbid it's privileged? And I know that you're tired of hearing that. too bad. These things need to be pointed out so that we can get to better places. So that you don't keep tripping over your privilege. And that you see that while it might be clear as day to you, man, if they told me that I couldn't, first of all y'all lying. Let me get up for a second. First of all, let's be very clear about that. Y'all lying. Because if the Bears had told you, hey, man, you can be the GM, but we going to hire this coach, your ass would have been like, all right, boss, let's go. So don't, like, thumb your nose up at the idea of an owner of a football team tells you you can't do something, and then you are just like, huh? And look, it happens. It happens to white, I almost said leaders of power. Like, that sounds really weird. That sounds really, really weird. Let's take, for example, Rick Hine. Okay? We all know Rick. We like Rick. Rick's really smart. What was the first thing that I said and you thought when they hired Tony La Russa? Rick should quit, right? And Rick's probably like, well, if I quit, then there's really no guardrail, is there? If I stay here, then perhaps the stuff that you don't want to have happen, I can play a hand in it not happening. And I'll say that that was a point of view that people brought up to me. And I was like, okay, I get that. But you get to be the general manager of the White Sox. And you get to see this thing that you built. The overarching point of this is that the power dynamic in these jobs is really screwed up. And because there's a limited amount of them, there are concessions that everyone who takes these jobs, for the most part, has to make. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that that might mean that there are more concessions for a minority candidate who's getting the job for the first time. Back after this on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
It's communication. It's communication. It's being on the same page with the coaching staff. I truly believe when your coaching staff and your personnel are walking together and making decisions together, they can have in-depth discussions and identify exactly what they want, not only for a position group, but for the culture that Coach Reed wants. I think you're on the right path. And I think you can do damage in terms of acquiring players that represent what you want to be as an organization. So that's the biggest one, hands down.
Ryan Poles talking about some of the things that he's learned in his 13 seasons working in Kansas City. Walks in after being the executive director of player personnel, was the assistant. He only did that job for 1 year, by the way. Assistant director of player personnel from 2018 to 2020. Then he was in charge of college scouting in 2017. He's worked his entire professional career as an executive for Kansas City. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. There were different people who were in charge during his tenure, and he survived throughout the tenure, which is a good thing, I think. But does he have, like, diversity of thought? Because you get to see how another organization runs. Can he look at the Bears with clear eyes and full hearts? Can't lose! Or does he say, we'll do it just like we did it in Kansas City, when not everything works that way, especially when you don't have Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones? We shall see. Will he be given final say on who to hire head coach? We hope so. We shall see. It would be nice if that were the case. I've enjoyed the people who tell me that they're never going to listen again because we are having adult conversations about life and stuff. I also enjoy the juxtaposition of Mitch coming in here and being like, man, there are a whole bunch of people that are listening right now. Exactly. I have two really favorite texts that have come in while we've had this discussion. This one came in. People complaining about LH. LH is saying are acting like they've never made a decision, or they've made every decision from a position of strength. That's what we're talking about. That's a great text. The other favorite text was, this person is really mad because how dare I speak from privilege because I went to Homewood Flossmoor High School. Yes, minorities can also have privilege. Like, there's a list of them. I can tell you some of mine. I came from a two-parent household. Both of my parents worked. Food was never an issue for me, ever. They not only could pay the mortgage, but my father saves like a squirrel, which is something I do. But there's also some reasons for that, why he saves like a squirrel. I'll leave that for another time. They were able to send me to a great high school by moving. Very privileged to have that. But here's the thing. Even with some of those privileges, there are hurdles that you have to fight. And I'll just give you this one from what happened to me when we got out there. Growing up in Roseland, from seventh grade through graduation, I was taking high school classes. I spent the morning at Harlan High School. I make the walk up 95th Street, taking classes from, as a 12-year-old, taking high school classes at Harlan. There was a good program that my school, St. Thaddeus, RIP, had with Harlan. There were a bunch of students, including Ed Howard's uncle. We'd walk to Harlan and take classes. When I got to HF, even after presenting to them that I had taken 2 years of high school English, guess where I ended up? In regular class. Luckily for me, I had two unbelievable teachers, Miss Piccola and Miss Pignotti. Miss Piccola straight up asked me, why are you in my class? Why are you not in my honors class? Well, because me and my mom walked in here the first day and the guidance counselor didn't care that I had spent 2 years doing high school English. So to that texter, even with all of the things that I've already had and been given, there are still things that are put in front of me don't have anything to do with how good I am at what it is that I do. Ta-da! And when I talk about privilege, or when anyone talks about privilege, you shouldn't take it as a personal affront that you haven't had it hard in life. Just understand that there are things that you never have to think about. The woman that I married, not from an affluent family. They understood that, look, they had to work. My father-in-law runs a business down there. His life was hard, but there are still things that he and she are able to do more easily than I can. And I'm just one example And again, my scope is limited. I am a black cis male heterosexual. Understanding that you have some of these privileges doesn't mean that you don't work hard, and it doesn't mean that you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth. By the way, silver spoons, man. You got the two guys that turned out great, and then the other guy that just...
Two?
Yeah, Jason Bateman.
Oh, I forgot he was on the show.
Yeah, and Alfonso Ribeiro. And then the other guy. It was Erin Gray's birthday, like her 70th-something birthday. And I was like, man.
Still fine.
Silver Spoons and Buck Rogers. Wilma Deering back in the day, boy, let me tell you. It doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It just means that pay attention. There might be some things out there that your people, that people that you consider friends or colleagues, have to work through that you had never considered. All I'm saying is consider them. Then the one guy was like, he's never going to listen again. What would happen if I clicked on his history on the text line?
Well, in the future, he's going to text again because we're going to talk about something, because he never misses a show, ever. Or she.
Those are my favorites. I'll never listen to you again. Really? Herbie, can you imagine how mad people would be over that top five guitarist list if we did that today? Woo!
That, it wouldn't have been mad about you not talking Bears. It would have been mad about your picks.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Well, I mean, I know there were people mad that I didn't go into full war coverage of the Ryan Poles hire. I mean, come on. Let's see what happens. Some texts are still rolling in. Oh, this guy is about to turn away. Oh, that's too bad. Don't worry, Parkinson Spiegel are going to come up. The weird thing is, you think that Danny doesn't talk about stuff like this? It's interesting that you think that that's the case, that Speegs doesn't talk about stuff like this. Oh, is it because I'm the black guy and I'm talking about this? Is that what makes you uncomfortable? That's too bad. 815 texture says, HF wasn't all bougie. Nah, when I went there, it was.
You guys had a pool. I think you guys called it natatorium.
We have a not. Look.
And I'm from Wheaton.
I am not going to sugarcoat what my parents jumped me into. They took me from what could have been some really interesting situations in Roseland. It wasn't quite like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but come on. I went to high school with the Darvins and the Duchessoise. Come on, man.
Good furniture and some horse racing.
Yeah. Ashley had the entire senior class over for the graduation party. There were 522 of us. So look, I'm not going front. Like, HF in the late 80s and early 90s, bougie as hell. I was explaining to someone the other day. Oh my God. And it was so funny because this person went to Rich Central. And I was like, y'all had a pond out front? Like, you drive past, like, they got a pond? I was like, yeah, we took canoeing. I literally had canoeing as a gym class. Because we had our own pond. And we still have an ice arena. Like, we'd be coming to school, Mount Carmel was just finishing hockey practice, and then going to class.
I thought I had privilege. We didn't have a pool.
We had an auditorium, and get it right.
Or an ice rink.
Or they put lights on our baseball stadium in like 1990. We literally called it the Field of Dreams. I'm very aware of all the things that we had. There are plenty of things that I'll say about HF, but let's not lie to people and be like it wasn't bougie. It was completely bougie.
All these lights on the field, where the championships at?
There were shout out to Coach Wren. He won a state championship. And then went to Arizona and won three more. We got the candy stripe shorts. Like, nothing says privilege more than a bunch of dudes walking around in candy stripe pants and shorts. Come on.
Like Indiana?
Yes.
Ugh.
I got to find you some pictures. Shout out to Coach Laketta. Always singing John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt during gym class. I remember it all.
Did you guys have polo? You have the horses in the back?
No, we didn't have that. But I'll just end it with this. We did have a golf course right across the street from the school. Back after this on the score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I was taken a little bit off guard yesterday when we found out that Major League Baseball and the Players Association were going to meet on back-to-back days. And I was filled with, like, some optimism. Like, yeah, this is great. Maybe they'll figure things out and they can get started on spring training, which means we can start doing shows from Arizona and all that good stuff. And then I was like, wait, how did this happen? Well, the players apparently dropped the idea of hitting a certain age before your 6 years of experience is up and then you can become a free agent. And the owners were like, cool. But here's the problem. There's still a lot more stuff that the two sides need to agree on, including revenue sharing, which is a huge topic between the players and the owners. I will say, and I've been looking at people like Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan, who have been covering this very closely. The folks over at Athletic, by the way, Evan Drylich, been doing a great job with this. I guess the best thing that we can say is at least they're talking to each other. I am not one of these people that says, give me baseball, it has to be on time, because that is a default position for people who support ownership. I want the players to be very satisfied with the CBA that they put forth. And I don't care how long it takes, as much as I love baseball. Meanwhile, White Sox out here making international moves, bringing in more players. The legacy of Minnie Minoso continues to pay big dividends for the White Sox as an organization. And I think that they do a really great job of being thankful for what that man did for them and the Cuban pipeline that has continued to bear fruit. I'll talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.